When we're able to feel that our dating partner has the potential to be a mate, or if we just feel that we want to get to know her better and give a relationship a chance, then we're ready to move on to stage 3, exclusivity. In this stage, we make a commitment to focus on having a primary romantic relationship and avoid nurturing any romantic relationships on the side. In this stage, we build a foundation that allows us to open our hearts and truly love someone. Before this stage, we're just reacting to the anticipation of getting what we need and testing to see if we want to get involved. Now we actually have a chance to give freely and fully and experience getting what we need in return. Most dating couples in this stage unknowingly sabotage this opportunity to experience the best of their partners and themselves. As soon as they become exclusive, they relax and no longer put their best foot forward. In this stage, we must make a deliberate effort to keep doing the little romantic things that allowed us to move through the first and second stages. A man may do everything to win a woman over, but once he's past the finish line, he turns off his engine, parks his car, and celebrates. In stage 3 exclusivity, he mistakenly assumes the pursuit is over. Somebody needs to tell him the race is not over. He's only just shifted into third gear. He still hasn't reached his top speed. He still has fourth and fifth gears. To wind out third gear, he needs to focus on being the best partner he can be and continue to lead the relationship. On Mars, they instinctively try to be efficient. Their motto is, never do anything you don't have to do. To make sure they don't waste energy, men automatically prioritize. Unless something gets to the top of the list, it just doesn't get done. They wait to dedicate their energy to something until they clearly know that it's necessary, particularly when it comes to romantic relationships. This is why it's crucial for a man to understand women. Otherwise, he just doesn't know what is required to make a relationship work. When he assumes he's doing enough and the woman is not happy, he quickly gives up and loses his attraction because he either thinks something's wrong with her or that she's the wrong partner for him. It may just be that he has the wrong approach. In stage 3, a man needs to realize that much more will be required of him, but not more than he can do. His best is good enough. As he gradually grows and can give more, his partner can put forth more of herself in a healthy manner. As they gradually prepare themselves in this way to experience the growth of true intimacy in the next stage, a man's orientation towards the relationship has a chance to change. By deliberately putting forth his energy and attention to fulfill a woman's romantic needs, long after a woman has accepted him, a man trains himself to experience that the little romantic gestures of dating are not just to win a woman over, but are actually required and necessary to sustain her responsiveness. Instead of planning a date because he knows she'll be impressed, now he plans a date because he knows this is what nurtures her and makes her feel good. As he experiences repeated success in stage 3, giving in romantic ways becomes automatic for him. Giving still requires effort and risk, but the reward makes it all worthwhile. His reward is the pleasure and pride he feels when he succeeds in making his partner happy. For several dates, Bob was very talkative with Sarah. He talked about his job, his goals, his values, his parents, his brothers and sisters, his past, his spiritual beliefs, his interest in sports, his daily experiences. He talked about his past as it related to different experiences that he was having today. He was a dream partner. Women love men to share the way they think and feel about things. They had many wonderful quality conversations. When they moved into stage 3, Sarah was expecting things to stay the same or even get better, but the opposite happened. Bob stopped talking as much. At first, Sarah thought he was probably distracted by some problem at work, but eventually she concluded that he was just losing interest in her. Sarah suggested that for fun, they take a Mars-Venus workshop. She thought that if they took a class together on communication, she would understand what to do. After the workshop, everything changed. She heard that statistically, men talk more on the third date than any other date in their whole relationship. Sarah was relieved to recognize that Bob's lack of interest in talking to her was not about her or their relationship at all, but was quite ordinary. Men may talk a lot in the beginning of a relationship because, in a sense, they're on a job interview. They're giving their date a verbal resume of who they are by sharing what they think, feel, and value. Once a man gets the job, and he is exclusive, a shift takes place, because there's no longer any reason to keep talking. Talking has served its purpose. Now that they know each other, they can get on to being and doing things together. Men talk most on the third date, because after their third date, it's usually about the time that they decide to be exclusive. As in baseball, it's generally three strikes, and he either gets on base or he's out. On Mars, talking is not an end in itself. Men generally don't call each other up and say, "Let's go to lunch and just talk." If they do, it's because they have something in particular or pressing to talk about. When invited to lunch to talk, a man will ask, "What's up?" or "What is it that you want to talk about?" Women, on the other hand, will call each other up and say, "Let's have lunch." They don't have to have a specific reason to talk. There are not specific topics to discuss or pressing problems to solve. They don't even bother asking. They know lunch means talking about whatever. Bob, like many men, had stopped talking because he had no reason to talk. He had fully introduced himself, and he got the job. After taking the seminar, he realized that in stage three, he needed to keep doing the things he did to win her over. One of the most important things was to keep talking as he did on the first few dates. In stage three, a woman's greatest challenge is to practice the art of asking for support. Women are taught to be desirable, but not to desire. It's hard for them to ask for more. The biggest mistake women make in stage three is to assume that now a man will do things without her having to ask. In this stage, a woman must break through this limiting conditioning to discover that she is actually more desirable when she expresses her desires. A woman becomes more attractive when a man clearly knows what she wants. He can then feel confident that he can fulfill her. If she just waits for him to know the right things, she may be waiting her whole life. The best time to ask for support is when a man stops offering it. This simple truth can be very confusing to women. When a man stops offering his support, a woman mistakenly assumes that this is the worst time to ask. When men don't do the right things, it's either because they don't know what to do, or they don't realize how important a certain thing is on Venus. It has little to do with how much or how little he cares. Stage three is the perfect time for a woman to become more direct and begin asking for support. When a woman gives more instead of directly asking, it gives a man the wrong message. He's led to believe that either she doesn't need his help or he's already giving enough. When a woman stops asking for more, a man assumes he's giving enough. Without this understanding of how men think differently, a woman keeps giving to a man until she feels a resentment inside. As her resentment builds, she feels increasingly entitled to ask for more. Eventually, she does ask for more, but because she's feeling so resentful, she asks for more in a demanding tone or complains before making her request. At this point, a man will resist her request. His resistance is also misunderstood. It's not that he's resisting giving the help. He's resisting her resentful attitude. He's resisting the negative picture her complaints are painting of him. Although she thinks she's just sharing her feelings, he interprets her behavior as unfair, blaming, and even manipulative. From his perspective, he feels criticized for not giving enough or unjustly judged as unsupportive. He rejects her feelings because he has been happy to help. He clearly got the message that he was doing plenty, and now she turns on him by not appreciating what he brings to the relationship. All of this predictable turmoil and conflict can be avoided when a woman recognizes that stage three is the most optimal time to ask for support. This is when she has the most negotiating power. In stage three, a man is actually most receptive to her requests. The secret of asking a man for support and getting what she wants is for a woman to make sure that she doesn't give more than she's getting. As long as she doesn't give more than she's getting, then she won't feel resentful. And then when she asks for what she wants, without an attitude of resentment, she's sure to get it. Many women turn men off by making the mistake of focusing on their negative feelings before making a request. For example, instead of saying, "Would you take me out this weekend?" she'll say, "We never spend time together. We never do anything fun." And that's her request. And most men will hear that as a negative message. She might even make the request, but he'll resist it because the message was so negative. Instead of saying to a man, "We never talk anymore," just simply say, "Let's have a conversation. Let's spend some time talking." Let a man be the solution to the problem instead of focusing on the problem. On Venus, they commonly talk and share their feelings about a problem before asking for a solution. While this approach may work with girlfriends, it does not work with men. By learning to ask for what she wants in a positive way, a woman will eventually develop one of the most important skills to have a successful relationship with a man. Women are very aware and verbal about the way men change in a relationship, but they're not always as aware of the way they change. Women change too. They think, now that they're in an exclusive relationship, that a man will automatically do more. Her expectations increase. In anticipation, she feels inclined to do more for him. While this may seem like a good idea, it's not. As she feels she's giving more, she's no longer as excited and appreciative for the little things he does. Instead of growing in appreciation, she begins to take her partner for granted. Instead of delighting in how supported she feels, she begins to feel obligated to even the score. Since he's been doing things for her, she feels she should do things for him. She eagerly begins doing little things for him. She becomes more accommodating. She makes plans for him. She makes reservations for him. She worries for him. She waits on him. She tries to please him, and more. By beginning to do more, although he may like it, she unknowingly takes the wind out of his sails. It's fine to give to a man, but what is great is to receive. The secret to success for a woman in the third stage is to focus on continuing to receive. This is not the time for her to focus on doing things for her partner, but instead, it's the time to focus on receiving. By being receptive and responsive to what a man offers, she's actually giving the relationship the best chance to grow. As long as she doesn't give more than she feels he's giving, then she will not begin expecting more in return. To be most receptive and open to him, she needs to focus on trusting him and not giving him any advice, accepting him just the way he is, not trying to change him in any way, and appreciating what he does offer, regardless of how much better she would like it. Her role is to give him the opportunity to keep succeeding. His role is to do his best to keep succeeding. In stage 3, learning to create a receptive attitude can be as challenging for a woman as it is for a man to continue giving when his automatic tendency is to relax. Just as men tend to take for granted that a woman is getting what she needs because he's being exclusive with her, women take for granted that men should be more giving and supportive. And when he does do those little things, she's no longer as appreciative as she was in the beginning. When a man takes the time to move through the first 3 stages of dating, his physical desire expands into an emotional desire to please her. This desire to please her, in turn, develops into a genuine interest in who she is. This interest in who she is then has a chance to turn into love. When his physical desire is also the expression of his love for a woman, then this is the best time to experience increasing degrees of intimacy. Having an exclusive relationship provides the foundation for true intimacy. A woman creates intimacy by honestly sharing more of who she is. And a man experiences increased intimacy through successfully supporting and nurturing more of who she is. As she discloses herself more, he can gradually get to know all of her. If he continues to be supportive as he gets to know her better, then the love he feels in his heart has a chance to grow. When we feel a chemistry with our partner on all four levels, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, then we're ready for intimacy. These different levels of chemistry can be easily explained. Physical chemistry creates desire and arousal. Emotional chemistry creates affection, caring, and trust. Mental chemistry creates interest and receptivity. Spiritual chemistry opens our hearts, creating love, appreciation, and respect. When we're turned on to a partner on all four levels, we're now ready to move on to stage 4, intimacy. By getting your needs met in the earlier stages, you're now able to discover how much spiritual chemistry or love you feel for someone. Using the right dating skills cannot make you love someone more or make them love you more. But dating skills can assist you in discovering how much love you have for someone. Chemistry on any level cannot be created. You cannot make someone physically attracted to you. All you can do is create the right conditions for that person to discover what chemistry is possible. You can't just drill a well anywhere and find oil. In a similar manner, you can't create emotional, mental, or spiritual chemistry. It just is. What you can do, however, is to create the right conditions for a person to discover how much they love you, how much they truly find you interesting, how much they want to make you happy. All you can do is make sure you have the opportunity to feel chemistry to the degree that it exists. By setting up the right conditions in the earlier stages, whatever chemistry is potentially there has a chance to be felt. When you have seen the best of a person over time, then your heart has a chance to open. With enough love in your heart, you're then prepared to experience the worst of that person and still come back to a loving connection. You're able to hold him or her in your heart, even though you may be frustrated or disappointed with them. Through repeatedly coming back to love, you eventually gain the confidence and self-assurance necessary to pick your partner as your special partner for life. With this foundation, you will be prepared for the big challenges that arise after getting married. Instead of going through the power struggles many couples experience, you'll be able to draw on that spiritual chemistry to find the right compromise, to apologize when necessary, and to forgive your partner for not being perfect. In this fourth stage, the strategy is slowly to become more intimate, revealing more and more of who you are. This is the time to relax more and just get to know each other. It is not necessary to keep up your guard and be as positive as in the other stages. A woman can open up more and communicate how she feels, even when she's not in a good mood. It's fine for her to talk about the things that she doesn't like in her life and in the relationship. It's sometimes even better for her to interact with her partner when she's not in a good mood. She doesn't have to always be positive when they're together. This experience makes it safe for a woman to be herself, and this allows her to feel most loved. This is a great relief for a woman. Now she can turn to her partner and share the vulnerable part of who she is. When she is with her partner, she can relax and be the rest of who she is. As she is able to share more of who she is, how she thinks and feels, and a man continues to feel love, interest, caring, and desire for her, then she is ready to experience increasing physical intimacy as well. As a woman slowly opens up to experiencing more intimacy, she has a chance to rise up in the waves of increasing fulfillment and pleasure. Likewise, in this stage, the man feels a relief as well. He's been looking forward to more physical intimacy. As the woman experiences the ability to open up and share of herself mentally and emotionally, then they both rejoice in the opportunity to experience that love physically as well. A man's heart has a chance to open fully as he experiences increasing physical intimacy, to move into a woman's life without losing his sense of self and sense of autonomy. A man moves back and forth between feeling a strong desire to get close and a desire to get away and be on his own. The more intimate a man becomes with a woman, the more he will sometimes feel his need to pull away. No matter how wonderful a woman is, as they get closer, a man will periodically pull away before he can get closer. This basic in-and-out urge is in all men. It's associated with a man's high levels of testosterone, which all men have and women don't. Since this isn't a woman's basic experience, it's difficult for a woman to instinctively support a man in this process. As a result, she can unknowingly sabotage the growth of a man's love and attraction for her. Women mistakenly assume that more intimacy is better. When a man pulls away, she thinks something's wrong and wants to experience more intimacy. The wise woman learns to give a man his space and trust that he will once again find his hunger to be with her on his own. She understands that distance makes the heart grow fonder. She even encourages him to spend time with his friends away from her. By giving him distance, he can feel his desire to pursue her and win her over again and again. When Derek, 32 years old, first met Rochelle, who was 30 years old, he fell in love. It was love at first sight. Within a few days, they were already feeling and acting like soulmates. Derek would call several times a day. They spent weekends together sharing everything. Rochelle had been swept off her feet. Their relationship was romantic. They just couldn't get enough of each other. Then after about 3 weeks, Derek stopped calling. Rochelle couldn't understand why. She worried that something had happened to him. She called him at work, but nothing was wrong. He was friendly, though definitely different. He didn't even plan a date with her. Rochelle was offended. She couldn't believe that he could change so quickly from hot to cold. She felt hurt that he had talked to her as if she were just a friend. She waited for 2 days and he still didn't call her. She couldn't believe it. She never wanted to see him again. She then proceeded to call and let him know how she felt. After a very uncomfortable call, they ended their relationship. She felt hurt and resentful, while he felt bad for hurting her. He didn't mean to lead her on. He thought she was the one. All he knew is that one morning he woke up next to her, and all he could feel is that she wasn't the one. He felt an almost uncontrollable urge to get away. As they had breakfast together, he began comparing her to the ideal woman in his mind. She just didn't measure up to what he wanted. As suddenly as he had fallen in love with her, he was no longer in love with her. He didn't know what to do, so he didn't do anything. When she called again and he heard how much he had hurt her, he agreed to end the relationship. He felt sorry, but that was all he could do. He couldn't change his feelings, and he definitely didn't want to keep hurting her. 6 months later, after taking a Mars-Venus workshop, it suddenly made complete sense to him why he had been so hot and cold with Rochelle. He'd gotten really close and experienced being intimate with her. Then, while he was pulling away, she called him. He couldn't reassure her of his feelings for her because he was not feeling them. He mistakenly assumed she was just the wrong person for him. He wondered what would have happened if they had taken more time to get to know each other instead of rushing into stage 4 of the relationship. Although he wasn't feeling a deep hunger to be with her like before, he did miss her. He decided to call Rochelle and explain what he thought had happened. They went to dinner to discuss the insights he had gained in the workshop. One thing led to another, and they continued to date each other. This time, although it was hard to refrain from having sex, they went slower. They decided to experiment to give their relationship a chance and took the time necessary to move through the different stages of dating. When they finally reached the 4th stage, Derek started feeling his need to pull away again. After pulling away like a stretched rubber band, he would spring back. This time, his need to pull away was not as intense as before. because he had taken enough time to develop their relationship. When he pulled away, it was only a few days before he started to miss her a lot. Derek and Rochelle had developed enough of a relationship so that when he pulled away, the rubber band didn't break. After about a year, they got married, and to this day, they're very happy together. As a man succeeds in being there for a woman, she'll feel safe to become more vulnerable. This very process of a man's being there for a woman not only helps her, but also helps him to open up to his feelings. By learning to respect and understand her feelings, he becomes more in touch with his own. Automatically, he begins to open up. Automatically, he wants to share more of his feelings with her. Once she's gotten what she needs to open up and share herself, it's then fine for a man to switch roles temporarily and allow a woman to be there for him. In stage 4, it's fine occasionally to switch roles. If a man has always planned a date, now she can plan some dates. If he's always been a good listener, now she can listen to him. If he's always initiated romance, now she can initiate it sometime. This switching of roles is an important step, but it must be done with caution. Primarily, a man needs to be the giver, and the woman needs to be the receiver. But on occasion, they switch. The man receives, and the woman gives. Without this awareness, it's too easy for a man to sit back and simply receive, or for a woman to continually give and then resent later that she's not getting what she needs. When roles are switched, it should be done consciously with an awareness that it's just occasional. Some men are already in touch with their feelings. They're very open and ready to talk. These men can unknowingly sabotage a relationship. A woman needs to first feel that a man is there for her. Then she can be there for him without losing herself. When a man needs a woman more than she needs him, it can be a real turnoff to her. By making sure that he never talks more than the woman, a man creates the right balance in the relationship. When a woman senses a man's need for support, it can actually prevent her from feeling her own needs. This is a big difference between men and women. When a man is there for a woman, he gets more in touch with his own feelings and his own needs. But when a woman is there for a man, it can cause her to temporarily lose touch with her own feelings and needs. By getting to know each other more intimately, when the time is right, we can easily recognize whether our partner is to be our soulmate. So many times people ask, "How do you know?" The answer is, move through the first 4 stages and you know. At a certain point, you will know whether this person is for you. At this point, you're ready to move on to the 5th stage of dating, engagement. Having prepared ourselves in the earlier stages of dating, we gain the ability to know if we want to marry our dating partner. We recognize our partner to be our soulmate. Not only are we in love with them, but we love them so much that we want to spend the rest of our lives with each other. This recognition, however, is only a glimpse. Although we're certain that our partner is right for us, this knowledge can later be doubted or forgotten. To make sure it's lasting, we must acknowledge and commit ourselves to it. It's important to strike while the iron is hot. Otherwise, when it cools down, you may miss the opportunity. By making the commitment to get married, we automatically strengthen and support this recognition. By acting on this feeling and becoming engaged, this delicate realization becomes more solid, real, and grounded. It must be carefully nurtured and protected, like a little sprout shooting forth in spring. With the appropriate care, our love has a chance to grow stronger. Most men don't realize how important the proposal is to a woman. On Venus, second to a wedding ceremony, the proposal is the most cherished memory of a lifetime. Some men rebel against this idea because they don't realize how important it really is. Besides being one of the most important gifts he can ever give her, his proposal paves the way for a great marriage. The greatest challenge in stage 5 is to not rush into taking on all the responsibilities of marriage. Many marriages fail not because couples picked the wrong partner, but because they did not prepare adequately. When the inevitable stresses and problems of moving in and sharing a home and a life together arise, they begin to doubt that they're with the right person. They lose touch with the very special feelings of love and commitment that they felt in stage 5. The engagement stage is an opportunity to create lasting memories of their special love for each other. It's a time to practice the most basic skills of loving before putting them to test in a marriage. Being engaged is like a warm-up period before the more rigorous exercises of marriage. It is a time to stretch your relationship muscles so that when you put them to test and exercise them, they will be ready. An engagement prepares you to succeed in marriage. When a couple takes at least 5 to 8 months to bask in the certainty of their love, then they're ready when the big tests come later. As the stress of marriage increases, we're able to once again find that love in our hearts because we've had so many pure and untainted experiences of love for our partner and their love for us. Being engaged provides a strong and necessary foundation to take on the challenges of moving in and sharing the complexities of life with another. Being engaged is a stage for couples to celebrate their love in preparation to move in and get married. During this window of time, we have the greatest ability to learn and practice the 2 most important skills of staying married, the ability to apologize and the ability to forgive. By practicing these 2 skills before the more difficult challenges arise, we are then ready to get married. These 2 skills are like the 2 wings of a bird. Without both wings, the bird of love and peace cannot fly. Apologies and forgiveness are interdependent. When one partner apologizes, he makes it easier for the other to find forgiveness. When one partner is very forgiving, it then makes it easy for the other to be more responsible and apologize for their mistakes. It's difficult for a man to apologize for his mistakes when he does not sense that he'll be forgiven. It's also equally difficult for a woman to forgive a man's mistakes when he doesn't apologize. One cannot exist for long without the other. To develop these skills most effectively, a man should first focus on being responsible to apologize for his mistakes, and the woman should first focus on being responsible to forgive him. Although both men and women must be able to apologize and forgive, by maintaining this particular approach, they'll be most successful. When a man can apologize for a mistake and be forgiven, then he automatically becomes forgiving of his partner. As he anticipates her love and acceptance, he can more easily acknowledge and learn from his mistakes. When he doesn't have to consider whether he'll be loved, then he is free to consider what happened and how he could do it differently in the future. A man's ability to self-correct in consideration of others' needs is directly linked to how accepted he feels. When a man feels punished by his partner, it's difficult to become more considerate and sensitive to her needs. When men can apologize, not only are women happier, but the man also gets what he needs most, her trust, her acceptance, and appreciation. When a woman can forgive in response to a man's apology, she gains the ability to be more accepting and trusting. Without his apologies, she can't easily grow in her ability to trust and accept a man the way he is. If he's unwilling to consider his mistakes, a woman will dwell on his mistakes until he does. She takes on the responsibility to improve him instead of staying focused on herself and improving her ability to forgive. The art of apologizing to a woman has 3 steps. They are as follows. 1. First, say you're sorry. When a woman's upset, she wants to hear that you're sorry. When you say that you're sorry, it signals to her that you're open to hearing her feelings. Briefly, say you're sorry without giving any explanation. The least number of words creates the best effect. One of the reasons men don't commonly say they're sorry is because on his planet, When you say you're sorry, it's generally the end of the conversation. But with a woman, you say you're sorry, it starts the conversation. So he assumes saying you're sorry doesn't work. But by understanding the differences between men and women, he learns, say you're sorry, and then move on to step two. And step two is, listen to her response. Don't explain, don't defend, just listen. When you say you're sorry, then she feels you care enough to give her the opportunity to talk about her feelings. Once she's talked about her feelings, you must be careful once again to not give any explanations or argue with her in any way. A man will tend to explain his behavior, thinking that will make you feel better. But on Venus, if you explain your behavior, it just makes her feel like she doesn't have the right to be upset. When you tell her she doesn't have the right to be upset, she will stay upset. If you don't tell her why she shouldn't be upset, she'll be upset, and then she'll be able to let go of her upset feelings and forgive you. After saying you're sorry, if she wants to talk further, you should just listen to her response. If she doesn't say anything, then you can move on to step three. Step three, respond with an adjective. When you make a mistake, use an adjective. An adjective is a word like a negative adjective, which describes yourself or what you did when you made the mistake. While listening to a woman talk in step one and two, reflect on sincerely coming up with the appropriate adjective to describe yourself at the time when you made the mistake. Do this instead of planning an explanation. These are some examples of adjectives. Let's say a man is late arriving home and a woman is upset with him. He will tend to give her a lot of reasons, a lot of good reasons, why she shouldn't be upset. Like there was a lot of traffic, or he got stopped, or there was some problem. And he thinks by giving these reasons, she's going to feel better. The truth is, she feels like he doesn't understand. Instead, he should just simply say, I'm sorry. Pause and say something like, I was really inconsiderate. Her response will be, that's right. You were inconsiderate. Okay, just don't do it again. If you use an adjective to describe your behavior, the argument stops and it gives her a chance to let go and forgive. Let's say that she was upset about something and she felt ignored. And this has happened several times. And now she's telling you that you're focusing way too much on work and you're not giving her enough attention. Instead of explaining to her why you're focusing so hard on work so that you can earn the money, so that you can go on a vacation and then give her your full attention, that's just an explanation. Instead, listen to her feelings. Say to her, you know, I'm sorry. I realized after listening to everything you just said that I've been really insensitive. Insensitive, that's the adjective. And she'll look at you with amazement and go, that's right. You have been insensitive. But inside she's thinking, well, this is not a hopeless case. If he's sensitive enough to realize that he was insensitive, then he's a pretty sensitive guy, and she'll forgive you. Adjectives are the secret to resolving arguments. Let's say you get in an argument, and afterward it gets worse and worse, and both of you go off to your corners, and you want to come back and make up. Many people don't make up because they don't know how to make up. What a man can do to make up is come back and say, honey, I want you to know I'm really sorry. I thought about what we're talking about, and I realized I was really mean. She'll look at you and go, that's right. You were mean. Okay, I guess I can trust him again. He's acknowledging that he was being mean. The argument stops when you use an adjective to describe your behavior. By practicing adjectives, a man will begin to experience how easy it can be to be successful in making an apology. Just as it's important for a man to find the right words to apologize, it's equally important for a woman to express her forgiveness in the right words as well. If she was to say, I forgive you, for some men it can be taken as a put down. Instead, she can use phrases like, it's okay, or it's all right. And a man will feel accepted. That's what a man needs to feel before he can correct his mistakes, is that he's accepted the way he is, then he's willing to make the changes necessary to make things better. But if he doesn't feel loved the way he is, many men will become stubborn and resist making any changes. By practicing apologies and forgiveness, a man realizes the power of simply saying you're sorry, and a woman realizes the power of forgiveness. By forgiving a man for his mistakes, he will automatically self-correct and do it better next time. If you express a receptive attitude which accepts a man, even though clearly he made a mistake, then he feels most forgiven. These apology and forgiveness techniques can be used at any time throughout the five stages, but definitely they should be practiced as a prerequisite for marriage. As the potential problems and conflicts arise, it's vitally important to know how to find resolution and compromise. Without the practiced ability to make up, you may eventually break up. By getting in the habit of apologizing for the little things, then when the more difficult situations arise, it will be much easier. Moving through the five stages of dating could be compared to baking a cake. Mixing all the ingredients together happens during the first four stages, while stage five is the equivalent to putting it in the oven. For the cake to rise, there needs to be enough baking time. Taking several months in stage five gives us a chance not only to feel the warmth of our love, but to make it solid. Finding true and lasting love doesn't mean we'll be able to feel it all the time. Everything in the world moves in cycles. Night follows day. The tide moves out and then in. What goes up eventually comes down. Likewise, when the heart opens, it also closes. The commitment of marriage helps us each time to open our hearts once again. Each time we act and react in a manner to keep this commitment of the soul, we once again open our hearts and align ourselves with our highest purpose. The desire to share our lives with someone is the expression of our soul. In practical terms, it is our soul remembering its highest purpose. By making a commitment to fulfill that purpose, we align ourselves with the greatest power within us, not only to be successful in our marriage, but in our lives as well.